Well, if you got your Bible, something to take notes with, I'm ready to get in the Word. Y'all ready to get in the Word? Okay, here it is. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same. In Jesus' name, and every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's thank God for the Word today, can we, Church on the Rock? Let's thank Him for the Word. So we're getting right into it today. We're in a series called The Promise, with more blessings than any other in the Bible. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Now, if you'll stay with me today for the next 27 minutes, I can help you. I can help you. I can help you get the change you want. I can help you get things to turn around. I can help you today if you'll give me your undivided attention for 27 minutes. Will y'all do that for me today? So we're talking about the promise. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. But there's one that's attached to more blessing and benefit than any other promise. Now, if I had heard that statement, I'd want to know what that promise is. If I'm here today, I'd want to know, well, what is that promise that brings more benefit, more blessing, more advancement in my life than any other promise? And we're going to talk about that today, and that is the promise of the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. But before I get into it, I want to give you a statement, and I hope you take notes. Write this down. All of God's provision comes through His promises. Now, think about that. You got to think. You got to be a thinker. All of God's provision comes through His promises. It doesn't come through my begging, pleading, wanting, needing, or desiring. All of God's provision, the provision of healing, the provision of finances, the provision of mental health, the provision of physical health, the provision of strong family, peace, harmony, unity, power, courage, strength, anointing, everything that God has, all of His provision that He has for you and me, it comes through His promises. So if I don't know His promises, how can I claim His provision? So I wouldn't go to a church that did not teach the promises of God. Now, here's what I know, being here for 4 decades, teaching churches have less counseling than those that just go to a church that exhorts and tells stories all the time. This is what I know. When the Word is taught, the Holy Spirit's working, and He can counsel, mend, heal, restore, rearrange, adjust, and repair. Now, we're not against counseling, but I believe the teaching of the Word is more powerful than a 12-step program. We believe in that. But I believe that the Word of God, all of His provision comes through His promises. So I want to go to a church that teaches me the promises of God. Because you can't claim what you don't know. You can't claim what you don't know. You can't claim what you don't know. And if you don't know the promises, how can you claim the promises? And if you can't claim the promises, how can you experience abundant life or God's provision? Am I communicating clearly today? So that's why we need to know the promises of God so we can claim the promises of God. Because all of God's provision does not come through a denomination or a religion or an institution or me needing it or me wanting it or me begging for it. All the provision of God comes through the promises of God. Now that's scripture. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. And that tells us that everything God has comes through His promises. So if I don't know His promises, I can't claim them. And if I can't claim them, I can't experience the abundant life. I can't experience His provision in my life. Amen, somebody? So we're looking at the one promise that's greater than all the other promises, attached to more blessing than any other. And that is the fear of the Lord. Now, we're not talking about negative fear. We're not talking about being angry at God. And I've been angry at God. Have you ever been angry at God? Now, don't lie. Lightning will hit y'all. I've been angry at God. But we're not talking about being angry at God. We're not talking about being afraid of God. You know, growing up, you know, I heard some things in church that made me be afraid of God, that if I did something wrong, God was going to smash me. So I was afraid of God. But in this series, I'm not talking about being angry at God, mad at God, blaming God, or afraid of God. I'm talking about being at awe. Being in awe of God. We're talking about a healthy fear. It's reverencing God like y'all are doing. It's respecting God. It's worshiping God. It's honoring God. It's making God number one in our life. So let's look at the scripture, Ecclesiastes 12:13, written by Solomon. Look what he says. And let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Bottom line, here it is, fear God. That's the bottom line. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now look at it in the amplified paraphrase. Look at the screens. The end of the matter is this, fear God. Scripture interprets scripture. So what does that mean? Revere, like y'all are doing. Worship him and know him as he is. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole original purpose of humanity. But look at this now, that the fear of God, look at there, it says, is the root of character. The fear of God is the root of character. So here's how I know. Now, I grew up in a denomination, and when I was there way back when, it's changed a lot, but there's a big focus on how you looked on the outside. A big focus on no jewelry, no makeup. A big focus on no slacks for the women. A big focus on you couldn't wash your car on Sunday, couldn't mow your yard on Sunday. Big focus on the external, not so much on the internal. And so walking in the fear of God, here's what it is. It should change my attitude. And number two, it should change my behavior. And number three, it should change the way I talk, my speech. Three things. If I'm walking in the fear of God, I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to have the stinking attitude that people have you work with. I'm not going to have that stinking attitude. My attitude is different. Because I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. I don't want to be religious, but I want to have a relationship with God. So the fear of God, I know I'm walking in the fear of God, putting him first in my life, locked in. He's before anybody else. I want to please him. This morning at 5:30, I got up, and the first thing I said to God is, God, help me please you today. Help me please you today. And then I said, God, help me to give you the best version of me today. God, I don't want to insult you by giving you mediocrity. I don't want to insult you by being average, just get enough to get by. I don't want to insult you for living below the position I should be living in. God, help me to give you my very best version of me today and help me please you. That's walking in the fear of the Lord. It affects your attitudes. You don't act like your neighbor. You don't act like those others at school, the campus. You don't behave like them. You don't lose your cool like they do. You don't do road rage like they do. You don't get on the internet and blast people up. Oh, boy, I got way too far. But our behavior is different. That's how you know you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And then our speech, we talk different. We don't talk negative or like a victim. We talk different. That's the fear of the Lord. Notice that the fear of the Lord affects my bottom line character. So listen very carefully. You might want to write this down. My character is associated to my closeness. Two words, letter C for retention. My character is connected to my, three words, my closeness to God. My character is connected to my closeness to God. That's huge. So if my character is off balance, then I can't hear from God like I should. Now, you and I both know, don't point at anybody, but we know a lot of Christians who don't have much character. They go to another church in another galaxy far, far away from here. How can they be a Christian and lack character? They can be in the family that's related, but they can't have fellowship with the Father. You have people in your family that are related to you, but you don't want anybody to know you know them. Fellowship. Am I right? So if I want fellowship with God, I've got to let him work on my character. Walking in the fear of the Lord affects my character. So when I go to church and I don't allow my character to be adjusted, I don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me and convict me and correct me, and I go to church and there's some flaws in my character at that particular time, I get diddly squat out of church. Because you can't get revelation with a flawed character. Well, I hope you're hearing me. Pastor, how do you know? By experience. I grew up in church. My dad was a deacon in the church. My mom was a Sunday school superintendent. We had church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night was Christ Ambassadors, the youth program. My dad was old school. He said, Dave, as long as your feet are under my table, boy, you're going to church. Okay? So I went to church every time the doors were open. But guess what? I got diddly squat out of it growing up as a teenager. I'd sit in the back, look at the girls, write notes, chew gum, put the gum under the seat like I've seen people do. And so I know from experience, I would go to church, but it didn't make me a healthy Christian. It's like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac, right? So please don't ever say to me in the lobby, Pastor, you know, that was okay, but I got nothing out of it today. Because then you're telling me that I won't tell you because you get mad at me, but I'll tell you, you got a flaw in your character. Seriously. See, I can even get something out of somebody I don't even like that's talking up front. If I'm right with God, the Holy Spirit can take something and go way over here with it and minister to me. Yeah? You know, many times I'll meet many of you out in the lobby and say, boy, Pastor, that was great. You said this, that, and the other. And I said that. I didn't say that. The Holy Spirit took what I said and changed it and went another direction. Amen. So character is huge if I want to be close to God in fellowship. So if I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, my character is improving. All right? So look what it says on the screen. The character, root of character, the foundation of happiness. We looked at that, the foundation of happiness. And then look, it brings harmony. Did you see this? Harmony in your circumstances at work, at school, in the neighborhood, in the mall. That you don't stir up strife and contention. If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, I am not going to be a strife carrier. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to be argumentative. I'm not going to be wanting to cause conflict. Don't look at anybody right now. Everywhere you go. Notice that if I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, it affects my character. It affects my attitude, happiness, my behavior, my speech. It brings harmony in all of my conditions, whatever I'm going through, in all of my circumstances at school, at work, at home. If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, I'm seeking peace. I'm seeking restoration. I'm seeking healing. I'm seeking mending. Can we just have a praise break for a new beginning here today? So I want to know then, I'm sitting here, Reverend, and I want to know, what does the fear of the Lord look like? What does it look like? I want to be able to distinguish it, and I want to walk in it. So what does it look like? I'm glad you asked that question, because here it is. Look at the screen, Deuteronomy 13:4. You shall walk after the Lord. You notice the Lord is in capital letters. You shall walk after the Lord. Is he Lord of all or not Lord at all? Of all. Every area of my life. Family, finances, health, future, dream, career, marketplace, decisions, choices. Walk after the Lord your God and look at this. And what? Let's do Fred Price. I can't hear you. And? If you don't know, Fred was my favorite Bible teacher. Praise God. And fear him and keep his commandments. So keep his commandments and obey his voice. So it's important that if I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, I'm listening to hear and then I'm obeying his voice. Amen. I'm taking heed to what you hear and how you hear, and he that hath an ear, let him hear. That doesn't mean you're physical, it means you're spiritual. That you should be hearing right now, and then obeying what you're hearing God say to you. And if you do, you won't need any counseling from me or our staff. Oh, yeah. Obey his voice, and ye shall, what is fearing the Lord? And you shall serve him. Join the dream team. And you will serve him. This is the fear of the Lord, how we walk it out. And cleave unto him. Be glued unto him. Now that's the fear of the Lord. So let me give you three benefits. Remember, there's more benefits attached to this than any other. And the first is abundant life. Can you say that with me? Abundant life. Scripture on the screens. Proverbs 19:23. Now, again, I'm just saying this to help you because I went to church as a teenager for a long time. Didn't help me. Got diddly squat. It was boring. We had no cell phones. We had, you know, paper. We'd send notes up and down the teenagers. And I got diddly squat out of it. It was boring. Why? Lack of character. I was doing stuff I shouldn't be doing behind my parents' back, behind God's back, behind my pastor's back. Yeah, I was doing that. What were you doing? None of your business. It's under the blood. But when your life is a life of abandoned love, it's when you're locked in, you're all the way God first, that you're revering him, you're worshiping him, not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. When you do that, look at this. When you're surrendered, do you remember I told you how to get a new beginning? Surrender. Do you remember how I told you how to get closer to God? Surrender. Surrender before the, remember I said, don't be angry at God. Don't be afraid of God. Look at the screen, but in the awe of God. And here's what you're going to get. Here's what you're going to get. It's better than the Cracker Jack box. Are you any of you young enough to remember when you get Cracker Jacks in a box? And you get a prize and you couldn't wait to find out what you're going to get when you got the Cracker Jacks box? How do maybe remember that? You are old. Here's what you're going to experience. Abundant life. Now, is that blunt or is that Bible? That's Bible. Look at the screen. Abundant life. Continual protection and complete satisfaction. That's a benefit of walking in the fear of the Lord. Number two, look at this. Dreams and desires will come to pass. Your dreams, and I hope you're dreaming. I hope you're dreaming big. I hope you're not shrinking your dream, no matter your age. I'm dreaming bigger now than ever in 40 years. I hope you're dreaming. I mean, look where you're setting. You're setting in an amazing campus. There's no church like it in all the county. I mean, look at our children's ministry, our youth ministry. Look at what we're doing outside for you. Look at our outreaches. Look what it's with excellence. It's top drawer. I mean, look at this. Oh, my God, there's nothing like it in this county still to this day. It's a dream. And I feel like we've only just started. But those who walk in the fear of the Lord, God said he'll make your dream and your desire come to pass. Look at the scripture on the screen, Psalm 145, 19. He, everyone say he. That's God. You see, God needs to be the giver of your dream, and God then will give the growth of your dream. Amen. I remember we started 42 years ago. Everybody in this county but 35 people said we couldn't do it. Our friends, our family, our past preacher friends said it'll never happen in St. Charles County. St. Peter's, where's that? And they all said, it'll never happen. It won't come to pass. You made a mistake. But God said, he. It doesn't matter what they're saying about your dream, belittling your dream, scoffing your dream, laughing at your dream. If your dream is from God, stay connected to him, the giver of the dream and the grower of the dream. He will fulfill the desires. He will fulfill the desires of only white people, black people, brown people, skinny people, certain kind of people. He will fulfill the dream and the desire of those who reverently, like y'all are doing, worshipfully fearing him. Don't let people steal your dream. Don't let time steal your dream. Don't let obstacles, disappointments, hardship, adversity, scoffers, negative people, don't let them steal your dream. And those who walk in the fear of the Lord, as the team comes out, the second benefit is he will bring your dream and your desire to pass if you'll stay in cooperation with him, partnership with him, and following him, and serving him, and putting him first every day of your life. Oh, that crowd may not let you in. That group may not let you in. You may not get in that circle that you think you have to be in, but you don't need them if you've got God, because God before you, who can dare be against you? He will fulfill the desires of those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them and deliver them. Do you need deliverance from your credit cards? He said he would do it. Do you need deliverance from a disease? He said he would do it. God's healing someone's left shoulder right now. Left shoulder be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command fatty tumors. I command bumps and lumps. Go! In Jesus' name, I curse you, command you to dry up, shrivel up, and leave that body in Jesus' name. He will hear your cry, those who walk in the fear of the Lord, and he will save you. He'll deliver you from the snare of the enemy. He'll deliver you from the terror. I'm quoting Psalm 91, the terror at night. He'll deliver you that 1,000 may fall at your side, but it won't come nigh your house. He will deliver you from strife and hurt and fear, anxiety, addiction. He'll deliver you from your past. He'll deliver you. As we walk in the fear of the Lord. And number three, oh, I love it. Those who walk in the fear of the Lord, look at the screen. Your family, this is Father's Day. Your career, job, business, and your legacy will be blessed. This is for somebody. You're going to break that generational curse off your family. Oh, yeah, this is for somebody. You're going to break that generational curse off your family. It stops with you. So look what he says here, that your family, Father's Day, your career, your job, your business, your enterprise, and your legacy will be blessed. And look at the scripture on the screen. Psalm 128, verse 1 through 4. Blessed are just people who live on the other side of the tracks. Oh, blessed are just rich folk. Blessed is everyone. Are you an everyone? Blessed is everyone, no matter what they say. So you need to stop cursing yourself. You need to stop putting yourself down. You need to stop focusing on your mistakes. The devil has two tools, temptation and condemnation. The devil has two tools, temptation and condemnation. He tempts us, we give into it, then he condemns us for agreeing with him. He's a rat. So notice that, blessed, so stop running yourself down, stop belittling yourself, stop cursing what God has blessed. And if God has blessed you, then receive it and walk it out. Blessed is everybody who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. For you will eat the labor of your hands. That's your job. That's your career. That's your business. That's the marketplace. You say, oh, they're holding me back. Well, if God is for you, no one can hold you back. If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, God can move them, remove me, rearrange, work it all out together. Because God said, if I'll put him first, I'm locked in, I'm sold out, I'm reverencing him, I'm worshiping him, he's before anybody else. Then he said, my career, my job, my business, my enterprise is blessed. Oh, come on, somebody, give the Lord your best praise. Happy will you be, and it will be well with you. We're about done. So right now, just turn to two or three people and say, it's well with me.
Oh, you need to say that again. It's. Oh, you're not hearing your pastor. Say it again. It's. Some of you have a hard time saying. No matter how you feel, it's well with me. No matter what I'm going through today, bless God, it's well with me. No matter what the enemy has thrown at you, no matter what the enemy stole from you, when he's caught, he's got to restore seven times back. So your job is blessed. And then look at verse 3. And your wife will be a fruitful vine by the side of the house, and your children, that's your family, like olive plants round about the table. And verse 4, behold, that means look at this. Some of you are looking at the wrong thing. Behold means look at this and focus on this. Look at this and focus on this. Because what you focus on, you feel. What you feel, you act out. So he said, behold, look at this. You will be a man or a woman that's blessed because you fear the Lord. I'm done. Did I help anybody today? Are you any better than when you came today? Come on, let's give God praise.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.